1 Samuel 30, beginning at verse 1. Amen. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 9, and then we're going to skip down to verse 18. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said to Abathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them all, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Go down to verse 18, and it says this, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Amen. They're going to blast the shofar. We need you to give the Lord praise for his word tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Minister on this thought, protect what is left. Amen. Protect what is left. Look at your neighbor if you got one and say, protect what is left. Amen. Protect what is left. Amen. I'm glad tonight that the Bible is relatable. Amen. The Bible and the scriptures are relatable. Amen. We can see in the scriptures that a lot of the heroes, amen, that we would consider heroes of the Bible, amen, we see that they got tired, amen. We see that they struggled, amen. We see that these men and women of God were not perfect, praise God, and they made mistakes like we do, amen. So the Word of God is relatable, amen, because we see those that we look up to and those that we esteem and call heroes of the faith, many of them, we see, praise God, that they were a lot like us. And I'm thankful tonight. You see, the Word of God, God didn't ask us to be like Moses. He didn't ask us to be like David. He didn't ask us to be like Elijah. Amen. He didn't ask us to be like John. He didn't ask us to be like Paul. Hallelujah. But he did ask us to be like Jesus. Amen. And that's what we need to strive for. Praise God. And that is a lifetime pursuit. Amen. That is a lifetime pursuit. I don't know about you, but amen, I'm daily trying, amen, to be more like Jesus. Amen. And so I think as we read to you, amen, out of 1 Samuel chapter 30, amen, as an epoch in David's story, amen, in the life of David, amen, I think we can all relate to David in some way. Amen. All of us, amen, can relate to him in some way. We connect with David because David, praise God, most of his life he was on the run. Most of his life he was, amen, on the run, praise God. And how many knows tonight that, praise the Lord, but hallelujah, David, amen, had to endure, and the things that David, amen, did in his life may not have looked like what he was called to be, amen, but hallelujah, praise God, I don't know about you tonight, amen, but I can relate to a lot of what David went through, maybe not the same circumstances, but the same principle in warfare, amen, hallelujah, you see, we're all human tonight, amen, just like David, praise God, just like Moses and Elijah and all of those that we consider the heroes of the faith. We're all human. And what separates us from the, amen, the heavenly, what separates us from heavenly beings, amen, is the ability to get weary. Amen. We as humans, hallelujah, we're different, amen, from angelic beings or heavenly beings because they can't get weary, but we can get weary. Amen. We're human, so we get tired. Amen. We, hallelujah, experience fatigue. See, the Bible says that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. God doesn't get tired. Amen. But we, as humans, get tired. How many can give me an amen on that tonight? Say with me, hallelujah. Amen. You see, so when you look at David, amen, and look at his life. You see, David was never supposed to become king because of his background. David's background did not warrant him to be chosen, amen, in line to be king. Hallelujah, the scandal surrounding David's birth. We know that history tells us that David was an illegitimate child of Jesse. This is why David was out in the field. This is why David was separated from his brothers. This is why David, amen, was not considered part of the household. Hallelujah. So the details surrounding his birth were scandalous, amen, and the rejection between him and his family. Hallelujah. He should not, because of his background, have become king. But how many knows that when the glory of God, amen, gets in the middle of somebody's life, amen, can happen. Come on, somebody. I said, when the glory of the Lord gets in the middle of a person's life, hard telling what is going to happen. Somebody hang with me for a minute. See, when Samuel came to anoint, amen, to Jesse's house to anoint the king. We know that he went through all of Jesse's sons, all of those that look like they should have been king. Amen. But God said no to all of them. And Samuel asked Jesse, is there another son in the house? He said, I've got one in the field. He's just a ruddy kid, amen. He's not much, amen, but he's out in the field. And Samuel said, go get him. Hallelujah. See, we know that when David was out in the field, based on his writings, amen, that David had to fight off lions and he had to fight off bears. I'm guessing that his family probably hoped he got killed by a lion and by a bear. Even if he didn't, they didn't hope it. They probably didn't mind it if he did. Amen. But how many knows that God had different plans? You see, it was out there that David had to fend for himself. It was out there that David was forsaken and rejected. It was in that field, amen, that David was amen, ostracized and left out of the family dinners. He was probably left out of the family gatherings, not a part of the family decisions. Hallelujah, but he was out there with the sheep, amen, tending the sheep. Hallelujah, so here he was out in the field, forsaken and rejected. But all that David had was his worship. Hallelujah. All that he had in the field. He didn't have the support of his father. He didn't have the camaraderie of his brothers. He didn't have that sense of belonging. But he had his worship. He had a connection with the heavenlies. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me tonight? He may have been forsaken, but he had his worship. Hallelujah. And we know, love story short, that David was anointed, amen, to be king. Hallelujah. And after he was anointed, his life began to take a turn. After he was anointed, he was pursued by King Saul. Hallelujah. Because he was anointed when Saul was already on the throne as king. Hallelujah. And David was now pursued by Saul because of jealousy. Amen. How many knows that the anointing on your life will, amen, cause the enemy, amen, to pursue you, to try and defeat you and destroy you and weary you and buffet you and weaken you? Somebody help me in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. So now David, hallelujah, is on in pursuit because of Saul. And the Bible tells us that he ran from javelins. Hallelujah, that he had to run, amen, and to avoid weapons, the javelins. And he hid in caves. Hallelujah. And the only people that visited him in the caves were people who were distressed. Amen. Hallelujah. And discouraged. He didn't have anybody to visit him in the cave that would say, "Hey, David, you're doing a good thing. Hang in there, friend. God's got you. Everything's going to be all right." But when he was in the cave, hallelujah, he only had visitors who were distressed, depressed. They were broke, amen. They were destitute. Hallelujah. How many understands what I'm talking about tonight? Hallelujah. You can't always depend on others' words, but there is a word that you can depend on tonight. Yeah. And when you understand the anointing upon your life, hallelujah, glory to God, you will stand, amen, in the midst of turmoil. So I believe that David had to get tired over and over again. I thought today that he had to get tired looking for a place to hide. He had to get tired of running, amen, from the pursuit of Saul. He had to get weary and tired from dodging, amen, all of the rumors and all of the weapons, and knowing, amen, that there was a target on his back, knowing, amen, that Saul was out to kill him. We're talking about the king, so the king had influence. Hallelujah. He was the ruler, if you will, of the world at that time, amen, of their world. And so David had a target on his back. So I believe that he had to get weary and he had to get tired over and over again. So from those caves, amen, we can see that there was brokenness and weariness coming from that cave. Hallelujah. David had to have moments where he thought, "Man, God, can't I have just a little bit of relief? Can't you just let me? Can't you just let him leave me alone? I did not ask you for this position. I did not choose to be anointed as king, but I received what you chose me to do. So God, it would sure be nice if I would just have a day of rest." Come on, somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Am I talking to anybody in this place tonight? Maybe I'm just talking to myself. Hallelujah. But from that cave, hallelujah, the anointed king, the one who was chosen by God to rule over Israel, amen, was experiencing brokenness, weariness. He was tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Haven't he ever been tired of the same old, same old?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To where, amen, everything kind of feels like a ritual.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That you're just going through the motions.
Yep.
Amen. You just say, "God, I just would like just a little break. Just a little break here, God. Just something, amen, just a little glimmer of something." Come on, somebody, do you understand me? Hallelujah. Amen. You just get tired of that. Amen. You wonder, where is the shift? Hallelujah. The preacher preaches about it. The worship team sings about it. The evangelist prophesies it. Amen. It's spoken and declared that, "God, I'm weary. God, I'm tired. Where is the shift? I receive it, but God, I don't see it, let alone feel it. God, where is it? I'm just tired of that same old, same old. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah, David was forced to hang out with his enemies. Hallelujah, because he was in pursuit of this King Saul. The Bible tells us that now he had to hang out with his enemies. But even his enemies have become suspicious. Amen. Even his enemies, amen, didn't trust him. They were suspicious of who he was. Hallelujah. Now here he is experiencing more rejection. Remember, in his own household, he had already experienced rejection. Now he's been on the run from Saul. He's been trying to just live, amen, and exist, hiding in caves and dodging javelins, amen. Hallelujah. Now he's experiencing more rejection. Come on, somebody. You gotta hear what, amen, is happening to David right now. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us, amen, that Nabal, hallelujah, who was a rich Calebite, amen, he was the descent of Caleb, a Calebite. He was a rich man. And David and his men took care. They protected Nabal's sheep. Amen. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in 1 Samuel 25. Amen. That David went and he sent his men to get pay for protecting the sheep from Nabal. Amen. To get bread and wine and to get, amen, compensation. And Nabal said, who is David? Who is David? Who is Jesse's son? Hallelujah. You ever felt like that? Who are you? The enemy. Amen. Say, who are you? Who is it that you think you are expecting to receive something? Hallelujah. Amen. But, hallelujah, David. So David's experiencing rejection. He's experiencing, amen, this, hallelujah, continued state of not walking in what he was anointed to be. Hallelujah. And so he's got to be tired. He's got to be weary. And so the Bible says that David took his family to Ziklag. Hallelujah. He took them to Ziklag. And amen, him and his men went to fight against the Amalekites. Hallelujah. And so after having fight after fight and struggle after struggle, David just wanted to go home. David just wanted to go back to Ziklag. He just wanted to go home and have a good meal. He just wanted to go home and rest. Hallelujah. He was constantly running, fighting. It was always a battle. It was always a resistance. Hallelujah. And so he just wanted to go back to his family, amen, and have a meal, amen, and rest. So many years of pain, so many years of heartache, so many years of disappointment. Hallelujah. But when David gets to Ziklag, he just wanted to go home and rest. Have you ever just wanted to sit down? Have you ever just wanted to rest? You said, God, I'm so tired. I'm talking physically, but I'm reaching into your spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Where you just feel like that everywhere you turn has been something to deal with. Everywhere you turn has been something to struggle with. Everywhere you turn, it feels like there's resistance. You are anointed and you've chosen to walk in the oracles of God. Hallelujah. But you're weary and you're tired. Hallelujah. But when he got to Ziklag, only to find out, amen, that his home had been burnt to the ground and his family had been taken captive. They had been kidnapped and taken prisoner. prisoner. And the Bible says that him and his men, they wept until they had no more power to cry. They wept until they could not cry anymore. I'm talking about being weary. Hallelujah. I'm talking about being exhausted. I'm talking about being tired. Fighting for your life, fighting against the enemy, warfare after warfare, hallelujah, and then only to get to where you thought there would be rest and comfort to find that has been destroyed and your family is gone, hallelujah. I'm talking about being, have you ever been to the place, and maybe if I'm just the only one that can relate to David and his men right here, but have you ever been so weary and been to that place that you become, things become so stressful that you come to not expect good things without consequences? When something good happens, you're thinking, oh man, I wonder what's going to come behind that. Has anybody ever been there? Where you think, you know what? I don't know. Hallelujah. Amen. And so here, they're weary, they're tired, they're exhausted. Hallelujah. And David, they have wept in grief and sorrow. They have cried until they could not cry anymore. They literally were so weak that they could not cry anymore. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that those 400 men turned on David. Amen. They turned on David and wanted to stone him to death. I got to thinking today, these are the men that David trained. These are the men that David spent time with. These are the men that David fought against the enemies with. These are the men that David spent time with. The men that David communed with. The men that probably shared David's sentiment. The men that, as they were traveling, probably a man heard David say, "Fellas, I'm tired. I know you're tired, but I appreciate you hanging in there with me." These men that David trained, now they're turning on David and they want to stone him. Let me tell you, that's how ministry can be. People that you have poured into, people that you have invested in, people that you have, amen, confided and shared in the battle with, you have fought in the front line with them. They will turn on you. They will find a reason to reject you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, hallelujah, there's David again, standing by himself, rejected, forsaken, neglected, hallelujah, without nobody, glory to God, hallelujah. But what did he do? I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know who the Lord's talking to, but I may just me, hallelujah. But if it is, I'll take it, hallelujah. But there stood David. Amen. These men, friends that he thought he could trust, these people that he thought he could, amen, count on, they're now standing there with stones in their hand, wanting to kill David, wanting to stone David to death. So what did David do? The Bible says he done all that he knew to do. What did he do when he was in the field? Amen. 15 years old and forsaken, he could hear the parties, he could hear the sounds coming from his father's house, but there he was in the field, amen, dirty, sweaty, smelled like sheep dung, amen, considering nobody. All he had left to do was to worship his creator. So he's standing right there, amen, with 400 men, glory to God, 600 men, praise God, I mean, 600 men standing there, hallelujah. I don't know if they all had stones in their hand, but a great majority of them probably did, hallelujah. And so what did David do? He started prophesying to himself. He started speaking to himself. He started statement. And David begins to prophesy to himself. He begins to say, all right, David, here you are again. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. What time I am afraid, I will call upon the Lord in my distress. Or what's the thing, or what this is, and I find myself talking out loud. And sure enough, I turn around, there comes somebody. Sometimes I just start on me. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're in it and you're surrounded by nothing but opposition.
Yep.
You got to know who you are.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to know the character of the God you serve.
Amen.
You got to know that he's never forsook his people.
That's right.
He's never,
never will
let them down. And he never will.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the thing. See, that word encourage is the word kozak. In Hebrew. It's interesting because it means to bind, it means to restrain, but it means to be recovered.
Yeah.
Always.
Sometimes you just gotta recover.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
Come on. God.
You gotta bind what the enemy is set out to do.
Yep.
And you just gotta recover.
Amen.
Sometimes you just gotta stand still.
Yep.
And watch God move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. David standing there. I pictured that for the first time today. All the times I preached out of this chapter and even in the story, I pictured that today. There he was surrounded. He had 600 men in his army, and all 600 men were there. Amen. And the Bible said that they wanted to stone him to death. He could have ran, but he was tired. I get that, don't you?
Yeah.
He could have ran, but he's like, God, I'm weary. I'm tired. Been running from cave to cave and from place to place and fighting off devils and fighting off armies and trying to protect my family. God, shoo. You said you anointed me. I stood there and that oil poured down over my robe and down over my life, God.
Yes, God.
You called me. I didn't sin for you. All I did was worship you.
Come on.
Come on. And there he is again, rejected.
Mm-hmm.
He could have ran. But here you see, David did something. He initiated. He right there initiated a breakthrough. You know, we say, God, give me a break. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
David initiated a turnaround right there. So let me tell you something. I'm going to get a little pastorish right now.
All right, good.
Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Sure is. I need to make a verse.
It's for me, anyhow.
Let me tell you, the worship team cannot bring you into breakthrough.
No.
The preacher can't bring you into victory.
Come on.
There is no perfect song or message that's going to get you on your feet.
Right.
That's going to get you to lift your hands. That's going to get you to clap. Stay up here sometime and try it. And you'll know what I'm talking about. There's no perfect song that's going to get you in a position to receive. Come on, somebody. You have to initiate victory by responding.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm going to say that again. You have to initiate breakthrough by responding to the song or the message. Come on, somebody. You got to lift your hands even when you're not feeling. You got to lift your hands even when you don't see it. You got to clap your hands sometimes just because you're supposed to.
Right.
Just because you know that's the thing that's going to open the door.
Right.
Come on. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just told you that supernatural beings can't get weary. You know what else they can't do? They can't clap their hands. They can't make the sound that we humans can make.
Right.
That's why it's a sound that is exclusive, amen, to us. And he said, amen, the word clap is only in a few places in the scripture. But he said, clap your hands, all you people. See, come on, somebody. That's something that a demon can't imitate. That's something, hallelujah, that the devil can't participate in. So when you are, as a human being, it is a sound that is recognizable in the spirit world. But when you are a covenant human being, and you are covered in the blood, and you are in a relationship with God, when you clap your hands, it's not only a sound that is, amen, exclusive to a human, but it begins to push back the enemy. It begins to scatter demonic forces. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? For when we tell you to give the Lord a hand clap of praise, it's not just a ritual. What's in me calls me redeemed and sets me apart as holy. So I'm going to do what a holiest person
right.
does. I'm going to do what a person that's redeemed does. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Sometimes you just got to do it because it's the right thing to do. You got to initiate your breakthrough. Lord, there's times it feels like the fire is falling. Amen. We're in the midst of worship. Amen. And some folk.
Yeah.
What you waiting on?
Right.
People get mad when you ask them to stand. People get upset when you ask them to raise their hands and praise the Lord. But come on, somebody. You got to initiate yourself. Sometimes you've got to encourage yourself. How do you know that's not the breaking in your breakthrough? How do you know that that's not the beginning? Come
right.
on, somebody, do you hear me?
Come on.
The moment you lift your hands, the Bible says it initiates the presence
yes.
of the Lord to come down and dwell where you are. Oh, I
yes.
need you to help me. And that word dwell means he comes down, he sits, he marries himself to the situation and the circumstances. He comes in covenant with So David began to remember the day he was anointed. He began to recall the day that he was anointed. And as he stood there in that moment, I believe David, as he began to encourage himself, he's like, you know what? I wasn't anointed for this to be the end result.
Right.
This is not what the story was written to be. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. The Bible says that before, amen, David was formed in his mother's womb, God was writing down his body parts, his members. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? David said, you know what? I wasn't anointed for this to be in your story. I wasn't anointed for this to be the end result. Hallelujah. I wasn't anointed for this. So I'm going to clap my hands until the enemy flees. I'm going to worship until the atmosphere breaks. Do you understand? I got to do something here. Amen. To initiate the glory of the Lord to come down in my midst.
Amen.
David said, you got to get to the place of, you know what? I'm tired of life happening to me.
Right.
I'm about to happen to life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to happen to life. I'm about to take this thing. Hallelujah. Come on, do you understand me? Life happens.
Right.
And sometimes life happens a lot.
Right.
It feels like it's day after day, week after week, something after something, something, something. You're tired. You're weary, and then, bam, it's just like you're tired. You've already got all this stuff going on, and then you stub your toe.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
Or you slice your finger open. Right? And you're like, oh, my God.
Or something breaks. Yep.
What else?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been there?
Yep.
You say nothing, something's hurt.
Well.
How?
See, right?
Every day.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you're weary.
Yep.
You know, last week when Haley went to labor, got up out of bed. Of course, it was going on 2:00 in the morning, so stumbled out of bed, literally. And then I stood on my feet. My foot was hurting. But we had a baby to get ready for, right? And she, you know, gave birth at home, so we had a tub to blow up. We had a tub to fill with water. We had stuff that needed to be done, right? We had it. And so when things got situated and I took my foot out of my house shoe, I realized that my foot was black, was bruised on the side. I could not tell you what happened on my foot. I had no idea what I did to my foot, but man, it hurt. Mm. But I didn't have time to worry about it, right? But you see what I'm saying? Just something else. It's like, oh, so by the end of the day, after the baby's born, and, you know, we've been up for, 21 hours, right? And, you know, you're just there, and you're like, oh, man, God. And it's just, so it's that sense of, man, it's always something. You ever feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
When you're already there, right?
Yep.
And then it seems to be just something. And so you know, David was like, you know what? I didn't get anointed to watch my house burn down and to watch my family be taken care of.
Right.
That's not what God anointed me for. Come on, somebody. I know things happen. I get all that, but that ain't what we're talking about tonight.
We're gonna live in it.
David's sitting there thinking, now this is in the moment when he's got 600 men against him, and that he was close to, and he probably knew all their names,
mm-hmm.
knew some of their secrets, knew their family, had communion together, fellowship together, ate together. They were living, residing in Ziklag together. They were close, amen. Now they're ready to stone him to death. He's got to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to decide. Me and Jesus. The old song says, got our own thing going. Got it all worked out. So they decided, you know what? This is not what I was anointed for. I was anointed to sit on the throne. So you see, he said, God, I'm not done yet. I can't be done yet because this is not how it's supposed to end. Come on. Who am I talking to tonight? Things are going to happen. And sometimes God allows it, sometimes the enemy brings it. But you got to decide that who you are, that anointing that's on your life, that's not the end result. That's not what the last episode of your life is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So David, while there was stones in their hand, David said, I'm about to get on my knees. Look, when they stoned you, they had you get on your knees. So I got to thinking about that. You know, David's probably like, I'm about to get on my knees. I would just encourage myself. See, initiation doesn't wait on the right moment to respond. Doesn't wait on the right circumstances to give God praise. So whether they sing my favorite song or no matter who's preaching, I'm going to initiate my victory. Whether they're singing a song I like, or whether who's preaching is not my favorite preacher, I'm going to do what I need to do to initiate my breakthrough.
Right.
Come on. See that trouble pushed David to release what God put in him. It pushed him to that place to release. See the change didn't come from anything external.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing outside of him that brought any kind of change or victory or peace. It wasn't external, but it was internal. It was what David had on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
See that very his weariness, amen, it pushed him into a secret place with God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, shall I pursue? So he encouraged himself in the Lord, and he didn't worry about the stones as they were surrounding him. But he let it push him into the secret place. And he said, should I go after these men that have destroyed my home and taken my wives and my children captive? See, they had traveled about 55 miles to Ziklag. They were hungry and tired. But what do you do when you want to go home for a meal, but when you get there, your kitchen's gone? When you wanna go home and rest, and you get there, but your bed's gone.
That's terrible.
It's all gone. What do you do? What is it that you do? You're like, God, do I have to fight again? Do I have to do this again? Who am I talking to? Anybody else? Do I have to do this again? Now see, verse 10 says there were 600 men. So God told David, he said, I want you to pursue them. And I want you to go. And I want you to take because you will recover. You will recover. Look at somebody and say, you will recover. See, oh, come on. He encouraged himself. It means to be recovered. So if you're going to recover, you got to respond.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come on, hallelujah. You get the connection there? Amen. If you're going to get back what the Lord says is yours, you got to recover. You got to encourage yourself. Got to speak it.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to initiate the breakthrough. So verse 6 says, you know, David had 600 men. It says there were 600 men with him. Amen. 400 of those men had strength enough to fight with him. Now I'm about to get to where the whole core of a message. It says there were 600. David pursued. Lift your hand and say, I'm going to pursue.
I'm going to pursue.
I'm going to pursue. See, you're initiating the breakthrough right there.
Yes.
You're initiating the victory. You're initiating the breakthrough. But how many times have I done that? Well, do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again. And again. And again. God didn't tell us there was a limit.
Right.
Come on.
He just said, praise me from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun.
Press on.
Let the name of the Lord be praised. And as it rises again the next day, praise him until it goes down again.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's
what he said. He said the righteous man falls down 7 times. He gets back up 8.
Yep. Absolutely.
He falls 10. He gets up 11.
Right.
Are you with me?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Amen. So the Bible says that 400 of them had the strength to keep going. Thank God for those that have the strength to keep going. But 200 of them said, we're just too tired. Just too weary. Can't do it, David. We can't do it. So we're going to stay back here and watch this stuff. We're going to stay back here and watch all the weapons and all the equipment, everything that we have. We're going to stay back here and we're going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired, David. We're weary. We just don't think we can do it. See, it's easy to condemn or even judge somebody who's weary and can't go and can't keep going. It's easy to judge somebody. Amen? We don't understand. We don't know. We don't know the conflict. They don't have any power to encourage themselves. They have no power. They're weary. He that waits upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. So these 200 said, David, we're just too tired. I've been there. And I'm like, Lord, I'm just tired.
With me yesterday.
I'm just tired, God.
Yeah.
Tired of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. Tired of being tired.
I'm just tired, God. I'm weary. I want you to stay with me. About to bring it to a close. So what do you do when you get to that point? What do you do when you get to that point where you say, you know what? I'm just too tired to keep going. Just too weary. Amen? What do you do? The Bible tells us now in verse 18, you can read it, says that David went and he defeated the Amalekites and he did what God said. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away and rescued his 2 wives. Amen. Bless him.
One too many.
He recovered all. But then you go down to verses 21 and 22, and you'll see that David and those 400 men are now returning back to Ziklag. And they get to those 200 men that were too tired to fight. And the 400 that fought with him said they shouldn't get anything. They don't deserve anything that we recovered. They don't deserve nothing because they didn't go and fight. But then, in the next verse, in verse 23, if you can get to that or not, I didn't get it to you, but if you can, no, it's not. But in the next verse, in verses 23 and 24, David said, "You shall not do so, my brother, with that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter?" In other words, you don't have any say so. He said, "But as his part is that going down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike." So in other words, David was saying, we're not going to withhold anything from them. No, that's not how it's going to work. We're not going to withhold anything from them. They're going to get the same, amen, hallelujah. Those who stayed to protect the equipment will have the same share as one who goes out to fight. And then he goes on in verse 22. And this is where, hallelujah, you got permission to shout. The Bible says that he made it a statute. Hallelujah. You know what a statute is? Hallelujah. Amen. A statute is a law. A statute is a, amen, it is the word chok in the Hebrew. It is a commandment. It is engraved or a permanent legislative authority. So in other words, David established, amen, that anybody who stayed behind to protect the stuff, anybody who stayed behind to protect what was left, and from that day forward, he made the statute and an order for Israel unto this day. So anybody that was too tired to fight, but they stayed and protected what was left, they were going to get rewarded with the same blessing as the one who had enough strength to go out and fight in the battle. Hallelujah. You didn't advance, but you didn't go back. Come on, somebody. You might be weary tonight. You might be tired. Hallelujah. But you stay back and you protect what's left. And God said, "I will give you the blessing of the breakthrough." You not only have one little hallelujah left, but you protect that hallelujah. You not only have one weary hand clap left, but you protect that hand clap. And you don't let the enemy take it from you. You protect what's left. And God said, hallelujah, that he will bless you and reward you for you stay and protect. You were just weary. You say, "What do I do from here?" You protect what you got left and wait for the breakthrough to come. Oh, hallelujah. My God, you may not be advancing, but you ain't losing anything either. You may not have gained ground like those who went out to battle, but you didn't lose it either. Hallelujah. If I could put that in heavenly terms, what you have.
Amen.
Amen. You gotta protect what is left. You gotta protect what is left because he will bless you.
Jesus.
Life took a lot. The fire took a lot. Maybe all you got left is a hand clap. Maybe all you got left is just a broken hallelujah. But I'm gonna protect it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let the enemy out. Come on, somebody. I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to prophesy to myself.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's a blessing for the weary. There's a reward for those who are tired. You say, I just can't fight. I'm just going to stay back and I'm going to protect what's left. Glory to God. So see, you may not have advanced. Hallelujah, but you sure didn't lose anything either. Stand still. And see the deliverance of the Lord. Watch him. See, it's just as important to protect the territory you have as it is to gain new territory.
Amen.
See, we get it so many times we get in the mind of Job, if we're not gaining, if we don't take ground, amen, that we're not progressing, we're not growing. But sometimes, be not weary in well doing. In other words, don't give up. Don't be crushed by the burden. But Deucey, all David had in the field was worship.
Mm-hmm.
And all he had in that moment
right.
was worship. Amen. It's what he knew. See, but that's what you know.
Yep.
That's why you got to have a secret place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got to have a worship communication with the throne room.
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Now, being tired, I'm saying this. Being tired and weary is no excuse to give up or go back.
Right.
Amen.
There you have it. People say, well, I just got tired and I quit. Somebody said just this week, you know, I don't go to church anymore. Nobody done anything to me or nothing. I just don't go. Well, maybe it's because you went to church instead of developing a relationship with God. I don't know. But I'm saying,
something right.
The enemy, and what's the enemy do when we're weary in our spirit, when we're tired?
Oh.
Again, he comes at us. It affects you physically.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you before in years past, physical battles has always been my thorn. Physical. I have so many symptoms. Jesus help. If I said that out loud, people would think I was a hypochondriac. And I've told you before, you know, I'm not a go to the doctor all the time person. I think it's anybody that does or whatever, but I get yelled at because I don't go to the doctor like when my foot was black and throbbing. You need to get that checked. Well, let's wait and see if the bruising goes.
Right.
It's not turning, you know.
Yeah,
get on one other kind of thing. Anyhow, I went for symptoms.
And if I
knew. We were talking about this the other day when I was having all of these really severe symptoms causing me a lot of problems, and they sent me for a test. And when I came back from the test, I came out from under the anesthetic. The doctor came out. Luanna was sitting there beside me in recovery. The doctor came out and he said, we sent some things off for biopsies. He said, I'm going to tell you, all your symptoms are some, I can't even remember the name, some type of cancer. You know,
mm-hmm.
And he said, and you don't start having symptoms till it's stage 4. So if it's there, you're in stage 4. Luann's very even keel, but I saw all the color leave her face. Like both of us were like, what? You wait till now to mention this? Like you didn't, you know, tests come back, nothing. I still have those symptoms to this day. They can't find anything. See what I'm saying? Now, they're not constant, but sometimes they're there. And, of course, you know, when you're already weary and tired, the enemy's like,
Oh, yeah.
You got to protect that last hand clap, that last hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You got to protect what's left. And not give it to the enemy. You may not gain ground, but you sure ain't gonna let him have it.
Right.
Amen. You may not. You may be too tired to pursue, But he ain't gonna get nothing from you, amen? Ain't nothing gonna get taken from you, amen? God promises. So it's no excuse to go back or to give up. Being weary is no excuse. It says he gives strength to the weary, to the weak, to those who are faint. He gives strength. God promises that the weary will be rewarded.
Right.
Hallelujah. Not just when we get to heaven, but in the moment.
Right.
But you've got to initiate that victory. But listen. Just because they didn't fight in that battle doesn't mean they didn't fight in another one.
Right.
So just because you're too weary to fight in this one doesn't mean you're never going to fight again.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's what you've got to tell the enemy. I may be weary right now in this, and I may be too, God, I just can't do this. I just can't pursue, but I'm going to protect what's left.
Amen.
I'm going to protect what worship I've got left. I'm going to protect all of the weapons of the warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Every prophetic word that's been spoken over my life that has not come to pass, I'm going to protect it. I'm not going to let the enemy have it. I'm just going to encourage myself. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to fight in the next battle. Because God will be faithful to strengthen. God will be faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. Because they recovered all that had been taken from them. Amen. And they were strengthened. Praise God. So when, and how many of us, when you're tired, you entertain things that you normally wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When you're tired, yeah, come on. Even things you got delivered from, you start like, because
mm-hmm.
that's what the enemy wants to do. That's why you got to stay
kind of wear you down
in that place.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't move, but you're tired to move, don't move.
Right.
Stay there. Protect what's left. They said, we're going to stay back and protect the stuff. And David made it a covenant. He made it. It was engraved, a written legislative authority that anybody who stays back and protects the equipment during battle will receive of the spoil. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing to know that when I'm weary. See, when I'm at my weakest, that's when his strength is made perfect in me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm not giving you an excuse to be tired.
Right.
You know, I'm tired. Just hard.
Hard feather.
Sick of tired, being tired.
Yep.
Right?
For sure.
It's no excuse to not keep going. It's no excuse to not keep coming to the house of the Lord, to keep praying, to keep reading the word, even when it feels like it's just a ritual. Even when it feels like it's the same old, same old. When it feels like you ain't getting anything, you're not getting anything, nothing's getting you. There's just nothing happening. You're weary and you're tired. But God said, when you protect what's left, when you protect what you got left, and don't entertain. That's why you gotta cast out every thought, every imagination. When you're tired, Lord, reach out to somebody else. Amen. God will send, amen, reinforcement. It never fails. It never fails. Amen. I have a small inner circle. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Praise God. It never fails that when I'm at that place where I'm like those 200 men, God, you know what? I know that there's a battle there, but I'm just too tired.
Right.
I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to let the enemy have my praise. He ain't going to keep me out of the house of God. He's not going to keep me from reading. He's not going to keep me from praying. He's not going to keep me from doing what I know I need to do, even if it feels stale. Anybody's sanctification ever felt stale?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Not worse. Than having a sandwich, man, and it's loaded, and it looks great. It's got everything on it. Take a bite and the bread's stale. Nothing worse.
I'm eating him.
Because you don't even want the good stuff that's in the bread. Now. Right? You, I mean, maybe some of you will eat it, but I'm not me. I'm not a stale bread person.
I eat it, not unless it's moldy.
Eat it.
But nothing worse. We're like, you know what? That just ruined the whole sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
All the good good stuff. Come on, that's what the enemy wants you to do. When it feels like that, he wants you just to eliminate, amen, that what's in that good stuff in the middle. That stuff, amen, that you that the whole reason you made the sandwich in the first place. Come on. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to entertain those things. He wants you to get to that place to where you allow yourself. He wants to use the weariness to get you to lose ground. But you gotta protect what's left.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written, it's engraved in covenant. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. David wasn't king yet, but his anointing gave him the authority to make a kingly declaration. That from this day forward, anybody that stays behind, that's tired and stays behind to protect the stuff, will get the spoil. Equal spoil.
Amen.
So you got to protect what's left. They'll come to the music tonight. I don't know who the Lord is talking to, but I know this is where he led me tonight. Now, again, I've told you before, you know, by the time I get here and preach to this one, preach this message, I've done repented and had all my clarifications and everything set for the word. So I know this word just wasn't for me. I know this didn't just minister to me, but I know there's some people in here tonight. You're just tired. You're just tired. Day in, day out, the enemy would like to shame us. Because you hear, be strong in the Lord, right? Don't give up. You know, you've got the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. We have all of that. But as humans, we just get tired. Jesus got tired. Amen? Sometimes you just got to rest. I've been to the point, times in my life where when I didn't rest myself, God put me there.
Yeah.
God put me in a place where I was forced to rest. Amen. But there's a resting in the weariness. But you gotta protect it. What you got left. That's what you do when you get to that place. You may not be advancing, but you're not losing any ground either. May not have gained any territory, but you didn't lose any territory. The enemy didn't take anything because you're recalling, like David, this is not the end of the story. This is not how it's supposed to end. This is not how it's supposed to finish. So, I want you to stay with me across the house tonight. My only regret tonight is there's not more people here to hear the word.